Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There's an old joke about a child in a Christian school whose teacher asked him to draw a picture depicting an old hymn that was entitled, "Gladly the Cross I'd Bear." You got a slide there of a hymnal open. You won't find that in any Christian hymnal. So just a little caveat that goes along with the joke here. In the child's mind, a picture immediately came up in his brain. And he entitled his picture what sounded like the title that was given to him in the hymn. Only it was, as you probably have guessed, "Gladly the Cross-Eyed Bear." Stories about communication, poor communication, abound. You might remember this one-liner. "I know you believe you understand what you think I said, but I'm not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant." Are you confused? Good, so am I. Even reading it. Well, if you've tried to read the New Testament and you've come to the conclusion it's Greek to me, you're right. It's Greek. And the New Testament is written in the tongue, not only Greek, but we call it Koine Greek, a common Greek, as opposed to classical Greek, like the works from Plato's Republic or Homer's Iliad. Koine was the common language amongst the people living in the first century BC through the first century AD. A word in the New Testament that has dearly suffered over 20 centuries is what I want to talk about today. The word is, in Greek, koinonia, and is often translated fellowship. How has it suffered, you might ask? Well, let's see. We have a room right next door, which we call the fellowship hall, right? And in there, we gather for dinners during Advent and Lent. We also have the fellowship hour, which incidentally is 30 minutes between Sunday school and our second service. Fellowship is often used for meals, game nights, trips together, movie nights, and just about any type of social gathering that we might do. And it's not just that way at our church. I think across the country, you would see churches doing similar things. And just so you understand, I'm not trying to put the kibosh on fellowship in the church. These events are valuable. But I did want to pass on to you the biblical understanding of koinonia, or fellowship, so that we don't become strictly an organization with no inkling of what true fellowship is all about. For a church that seeks to be guided in principle and practice by the Word of God, fellowship is an extremely important biblical word. So what is koinonia? In its most basic meaning, it is to hold something in common. The ancient word koinos was actually a prefix that was often added to other words. For instance, koinos with mother would mean to have a common mother with someone else. Or koinos with the word dispute was meant to be a public debate. What is it that Christians have in common? Is it not the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't it our joint participation with God? Isn't this what John was getting at in his first chapter of the first letter, when he says, that which we have seen and heard, and he's talking about the eternal life that is God in the flesh, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have koinonia, fellowship, with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The first level of our fellowship with God, has some great implications. John spells it out in his letter. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And later he says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and God's word is not in us. There's no fellowship there. So our fellowship is based on the recognition of who we are as sinners living in a dark world. But our fellowship is also based upon the work of Christ, who died on the cross and exposed our sins to light so that they might be forgiven. And God and Jesus put us in a restored relationship with the Father. Our koinonia, our fellowship as a Christian congregation revolves around this gracious God. And the beauty of the gospel is it's not exclusive to our congregation, and it's not just for our benefit. Our fellowship exists for the benefit of the whole world. One of my favorite nurses when I was on vacation at Barnes Jewish Hospital back in 2015 was this little Ethiopian lady. She had the graveyard shift. And, that's when things were relatively quiet. So we had a lot of time to spend together. And it was just amazing to me as we had this wonderful koinonia fellowship with each other. As we talked about God at work around the world. You know, it's easy to meet people from third world countries and kind of assume that they're a little behind us Westerners. Well, you can just throw that idea out the window. This woman was articulate, she was educated, she was well-spoken, thoughtful, and she had such a warm spiritual depth that just emanated from her face and her heart. What a beautiful Christian. You could literally see in her conversation all the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5. You know, this morning we're also so blessed to have Dorinda Werner. Dorinda's here with her daughter, Kayla. Dorinda was our youth director for many, many years, over 10, I think. And, what a blessing that she has been. And she'll tell you, she was a missionary kid and grew up in places that you guys have never been close to and with her parents. And then as an adult, she continued on with this missionary campaign. And she can tell you about this wonderful koinonia fellowship that she's experienced, not just in America, but throughout the world. And she'll tell you that wherever you meet Christians, no matter what language they speak, whatever ethnicity they have, or whatever country they come from, there is an immediate connection, isn't there? An immediate bond that we have because we have that one thing in common. Jesus Christ. It's a fellowship that's more than just a gathering. It's more than just a social event. It is a partnership with God and the people of every tongue, tribe, and nation. What a beautiful gift God has given to the church. Fellowship. Well, there's something else. There's kind of a darker side to fellowship. Something we must learn. And I think it's hidden in the gospel for today. And that simply is koinonia can be disrupted. When Jesus rose from the grave, he showed himself to the to the disciples, that is, all but Thomas. You remember what he said when they had said, "We saw Jesus." He said, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." The focus of this story in John, the Gospel of John, usually falls on Jesus' absence and Thomas's unwillingness to believe until he has that empirical evidence that Jesus is alive. But I ask you to think for a moment, what do you think happened to the fellowship of the disciples during that week? Do you think there was harmony in that fellowship hall with locked doors? I'll bet some of the disciples felt horrible and helpless because Thomas did not share the experience of seeing the risen Christ. And surely Thomas's disbelief put a damper on their Easter joy. Did they try to persuade him? And how many times did he say, "I don't want to talk about it"? We have skeptics always around us. And this went on for an entire week until Jesus appeared again, this time in Thomas's presence. And what does Jesus say when he comes into the room that second time? This is telling. You've heard this so many times, but you're going to think about it differently after today. Peace be with you. I'm actually kind of surprised that Peter, who is known for blurting out whatever's on his mind, didn't say, "Good grief, Jesus, what took you so long? We've been hanging out here with Thomas for a week, walking on eggshells. It's not been fun." Here they were in the middle of this incredible, historic, life-changing event in the life of this fellowship, and yet there was a disruption to their fellowship. There had to be. And if this can happen to the disciples on the week of the resurrection, you can bet the fellowship of believers today will go through similar issues. For we all now live in that age of faith and not sight. And we have to listen to the words of Jesus, who said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Because that's where our fellowship is, a faith fellowship. At the end of the gospel, we see John's concern for our fellowship when he says, "These things are written so that you may believe in the Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the one we have in common. And that by believing, you may have life in his name." Not only is he talking about the eternal life, I believe, that Jesus came to bring every believer, every individual, but also the life of koinonia, the life of fellowship, that is our life together in Christ. So maybe the question comes forth, what should our life together look like? What should our fellowship look like? You know, there's a lot of churches today that are laser focused on the personal relationship between the believer and God. It's kind of the me and Jesus concept. But our faith also has a really important side that isn't discussed in those circles so much, and that is the community of believers. Our fellowship with Christ should never be compared to a solo, for instance, but it should be a symphony. Its beauty is impossible to capture in one note, no matter how loud you make it. Only by full orchestra playing together can the beautiful harmony be fully captured. And this is what the church is, a full orchestra. Beautiful image. In order to fully manifest God, each person must not only play his part, but he must play it together with those in the fellowship. So in God's symphony, the music is the gospel. God revealing himself to mankind and displaying his glory through the life and work of Jesus Christ, which the church throughout the world plays in praise to God and our Savior. The instruments God has given us are spiritual gifts and natural abilities, and the indispensable platform we use to perform is our fellowship. It is only as we work together in this way that it is possible to accomplish God's plan. This is why fellowship is indispensable to the church. So then I ask, how can we practice true koinonia, true fellowship? We can practice fellowship by taking an active part wherever we can best help with the goal of glorifying God. Grayson, I got to tell you, I'm so proud of you today because you sang with so much dynamite, so much power that God had given you. And I want to thank you for that reminder to all of us that God is making diamonds out of dust. He's making diamonds out of us. And it's a reminder how precious the individuals of the church are. And that's certainly a part we need to realize. But then as diamonds, we need to realize that we need to recognize our own spiritual gifts and our natural abilities, and also knowing the needs in the church. If you don't know your spiritual gift, here's what you do. Just pitch in. Pitch in where you have a natural ability. As you work with others, your gifts will come to the surface, and you'll find places you might function in our church according to your real gifts and abilities to the glory of God. Now, this is really, really silly, and I'm taking my way here from the Apostle Paul, who also kind of said, hey, I must be out of my mind for talking this way, so you'll forgive me for this little tangent here. But I want to brag on one of our members. I won't mention his name. Oh, I've already made it now his. He's kind of a serious guy. He's been through a lot in his life. He carries a lot of responsibility at home and at work. And because of his serious disposition, you might think he'd be the kind of person who was comfortable hanging around kids. Well, actually, he's incredible with kids. Just ask his grandkids. He's been serving on different committees ever since he came to the church years ago. He's served in many places of leadership in our congregation. And here's my point. He asked me just the other day if anybody had volunteered to become the director of Vacation Bible School for this summer. And when I told him we're still looking, he said, I'll do it. I'll do it. And I'm sure his humility would tell him, or he would say, that there are more qualified people to handle this task. But he saw a need, and he stepped up. You know, the reason I think we've had such success in various projects like VBS or tutoring with Matthew at the school, or giving our time and talents to Acts 1:8 and Little Bit of Haven, our giving to the food pantry, St. Vincent de Paul, Thanksgiving food baskets, Christmas gifts to foster kids. And many other things that we've done have been done to glorify God. The reason for our success in those things is because we have a congregation that is sensitive to God's calling and have answered like Keith. Oops, wasn't supposed to say that. Here am I. Send me. I got to tell you, we can do so much more. It's not by dues that we paid, but by faith in the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for our sins, that God has welcomed us into this wonderful fellowship. Our individual roles are to play our part individually, but in concert with other believers. Our song glorifies our Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is God's pleasure when he sees his church working together as a force that desires to proclaim his love to those who have not seen with the eyes of faith. The Holy Spirit so wants to unleash our membership to do his bidding through this sacred fellowship. Are you in? You know, after Pentecost, in Acts chapter 4, it was read today, the followers of Jesus held everything in common. They didn't consider anything as their own. And they held Jesus Christ to be the one common denominator that they all shared. And what the writer Luke records in Acts is that there was great power in this. And there was great grace upon them from God. I pray that God would grant us his Spirit so that we have a true understanding of koinonia, fellowship with God and with each other, and that our congregational life in Christ might be pleasing to him as we work together to reveal his salvation plan to the world. I know you're in. Let's get to work. In Jesus' name, amen.